The Debt You Owe by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve. We are all blessed by the faithful lives of those who have gone before us. As a young man of primary and Aaronic priesthood age, I attended church in the grand old St. George Tabernacle, construction for which had begun in 1863. During very lengthy sermons, I would amuse myself by gazing about the building, admiring the marvelous pioneer craftsmanship that had built that striking facility. Did you know, by the way, that there are 184 clusters of grapes carved into the ceiling cornice of that building? Some of those sermons were really long. But most of all, I enjoyed counting the window panes, 2,244 of them, because I grew up on the story of Peter Nielsen. In the course of constructing that tabernacle, the local brethren ordered the glass for the windows from New York and had it shipped around the Cape to California. But a bill of $800 was due and payable before the panes could be picked up and delivered to St. George. Brother David H. Cannon, later to preside over the St. George Temple being built at the same time, was charged with the responsibility of raising the needed funds. After painstaking effort, the entire community giving virtually everything they had to these two monumental building projects, had been able to come up with only $200 cash. On sheer faith, Brother Cannon committed a team of freighters to prepare to leave for California to get the glass. He continued to pray that the enormous balance of $600 would somehow be forthcoming before their departure. Living in nearby Washington, Utah, was Peter Nielsen, a Danish immigrant who had been saving for years to add on to his modest, two-room adobe home. On the eve of the freighter's departure for California, Peter spent a sleepless night in that tiny house. He thought of his conversion in far-off Denmark and his subsequent gathering with the saints in America. After coming west, he had settled and struggled to make a living in San Pete. And then, just as some prosperity seemed imminent there, he answered the call to uproot and go to the cotton mission, bolstering the pathetic and sagging efforts of the alkali-soiled, malaria-plagued, flood-bedeviled settlers of Dixie. As he lay in bed that night, contemplating his years in the church, he weighed the sacrifices asked of him against the wonderful blessings he had received. Somewhere in those private hours, he made a decision. Peter's decision. Some say it was a dream. Others say an impression. Still others simply a call to duty. However the direction came, Nielsen arose before dawn on the morning the teams were to leave for California. With only a candle and the light of the gospel to aid him, Peter brought out of a secret hiding place $600 in gold coins. His wife Karen, aroused by the pre-dawn bustling, asked why he was up so early. He said only that he had to walk quickly the 7 miles to St. George to give $600 to Brother David H. Cannon. As the first light of morning fell on the beautiful red cliffs of southern Utah, a knock came at Brother Cannon's door. There stood Peter Nielsen, holding a red bandana, which sagged under the weight it carried. "Good morning, David," said Peter. "I hope I'm not too late. You will know what to do with this money." With that, he turned on his heel and retraced his steps back to Washington, back to a faithful and unquestioning wife, and back to a small, two-room adobe house that remained just two rooms for the rest of his life. See Andrew Carl Larson, Red Hills of November, 1957, pages 311 through 313. One Man's Commitment. John R. Moyle lived in Alpine, Utah, about 22 miles as a crow flies to the Salt Lake Temple, where he was the chief superintendent of masonry during its construction. To make certain he was always at work by 8 a.m., Brother Moyle would start walking about 2 on Monday mornings. He would finish his work week at 5 p.m. on Friday and then start the walk home, arriving there shortly before midnight. Each week, he would repeat that schedule for the entire time he served on the construction of the temple. Once, when he was home on the weekend, one of his cows bolted during milking and kicked Brother Moyle in the leg, shattering the bone just below the knee. With no better medical help than they had in such rural circumstances, his family and friends took a door off the hinges and strapped him onto that makeshift operating table. They then took the bucksaw they had been using to cut branches from a nearby tree and amputated his leg just a few inches below the knee. When, against all medical likelihood, the leg finally started to heal, Brother Moyle took a piece of wood and carved an artificial leg. First, he walked in the house. Then he walked around the yard. Finally, he ventured out about his property. When he felt he could stand the pain, he strapped on his leg, walked the 22 miles to the Salt Lake Temple, climbed the scaffolding, and with a chisel in his hand, hammered out the declaration, "Holiness to the Lord." See True Traditions of John Roe Moyle in Biographies and Reminiscences, edited by Jean A. Sessions, 1974, pages 202 to 203. A debt of gratitude. Whether longtime member or newest of converts, we are all the beneficiaries of such faithful forebears. My mind goes back 167 years to a little handful of women, older men, and those children that could labor who were left to keep construction going on the Kirtland Temple, while virtually every man well enough to do so had undertaken a relief march of 1,000 miles to aid the saints in Missouri. The records indicate that quite literally every woman in Kirtland was engaged in knitting and spinning in order to clothe the men and boys laboring on the temple. Elder Heber C. Kimball wrote, "The Lord only knows the scenes of poverty, tribulation, and distress which we pass through in order to accomplish this." It was recorded that one leader of the day, looking upon the suffering and poverty of the church, frequently went upon the walls of that building by day and by night, weeping and crying aloud to the Almighty to send means whereby they might finish that building. Extracts from H. C. Kimball's journal, Times and Seasons, 15th of April, 1845, page 867. We are a blessed people, and I feel an overwhelming debt of gratitude. I thank my Father in heaven for blessings unnumbered and incalculable, first and foremost being the gift of His only begotten Son, Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior and King. I testify that Christ's perfect life and loving sacrifice constituted literally a king's ransom, an atonement willingly paid to lead us not only from death's prison, but also the prisons of sorrow and sin and self-indulgence. I know that Joseph Smith beheld the Father and the Son, and that this day is a direct extension of that day. I owe much for the precious knowledge of which I testify here. I owe much for the priceless heritage that has been given to me. Indeed, I owe everything, and I pledge the rest of my life in giving it. Adapted from an April 2000 General Conference address. Sidebar, our privilege. Today, we are not called to pull handcarts through the snow-swept plains of Wyoming. However, we are called to live, foster, and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our privilege to invest our means and our time to bless others. Each one of us must do all we can to preserve our Latter-day Saint way of life. A vital part of this preservation is a willingness to set aside personal desires and replace them with unselfish sacrifice for others. By Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve, Ensign, May 1992, page 77. End of article. The Debt You Owe. Every day